Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message.
Praise the Lord, His mercy is more.
Take the temperature. How is Hendrick Motorsports today? Doing all right? Y'all look good. Got some beautiful sunshine out there. Man, this has been a rough pollen season. I don't know. 3 weeks ago, guys, I could not talk. I mean, it's never affected me that way, but it got me pretty good this year. So my wife reminded me I'm getting a little bit older, and, you know, you can change. You don't always have to react to pollen season, I guess, the way you would have as a 14-year-old, right? I don't know. So it's good to be here again. It's good to worship together at our place of work. What a special time this is. We're just going to continue to worship together. If you guys know this next one, just sing along and just enjoy your food and time of fellowship.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Roger Davis. I've been up here with you guys from Birmingham, Alabama, spending time with Megan, and we've been filming Donnie's story today. Spent some time in the 5 and 9 building earlier this morning, and I just want to say this before we have a quick blessing and he comes and shares a word with us. While we were filming Donnie's story, you know, it's easy when you're filming someone's story for them to talk about who? Themselves. But what Donnie spent a good bit of his time talking about was you, and how much he loves you, and how much he enjoys spending time with you, fellowshipping, not just in this meal, but throughout the week and at the track. And so one of the things that he highlighted was just the culture that you all have here, and I think this is a great example of that. And so I'd love for us to do this, just honor the Lord with a quick little prayer before we hear from Donnie. Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful for this moment. We're grateful for us to be able to come and have a meal together. We say thank you for that meal. We realize not everybody in this world has a meal in front of them today, so we just say thank you for a meal. We're grateful for the hands that have provided it and prepared it. Lord, we are grateful for this company and just the legacy, even as we sit here in the team room and look into the legacy that has come before us. Lord, we know we all stand on the shoulders of somebody. So we say thank you for those that have come before us. Lord, we're grateful for those that are serving today and just even the celebration that we get to have this weekend, celebrating 40 years in Watkinsville. Lord, I pray that you would be with the team as they travel back and forth, that would just be a great time of memories and moments. And Lord, at the end of the day, we're so grateful for the cross that Austin just sang about. We're grateful for what that means to us, those of us that are Christ followers. Lord, I pray that at the end of the day, we will make much of you, not just for our good, but simply for your glory. And Lord, we're so grateful that even in our depravity, our sin, that you first loved us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Roger, and his team here. You know me, guys, I don't mind talking, but it's different in front of a camera. And so I've enjoyed doing that today. And like I do every week, a few announcements. In your handout, you will see about Martinsville this week. If you're heading to Martinsville, we're getting to do something that most fans don't get to do. It's mostly for crew and drivers and NASCAR people, but you're being invited to the Driver Crew Chapel. You don't have to come, but you're welcome to come. One thing I want you to notice on there is we actually have to walk around the front of the track instead of the back to get to chapel. If you look at the schedule, they leave you a little bit of time there, but I'll be there. We would love to represent well, right? I think about 40 years ago at that race, obviously I wasn't there, but Mr. and Mrs. Hendrick were not even there because they were at church, right? And what a great way to pay respect to their legacy and maybe worship and give our Lord all the glory he deserves. And then go do what? Let's go race, right? And win a race. So I'm excited about that. I'm leading that service. We're going to learn what a legacy looks like. And so speaking about that, I wanted us today to look at this idea that God wants to use us. Now, often, if you're a believer, if you're a follower, you don't think about God actually using you. If you're like me, long ago, I thought, man, I'm not qualified. I have sin in my life. I don't have these certain gifts like mine. Many of you know with speaking in front of people. A lot of things that I just felt like surely he could use someone better than me. But believe it or not, as we read through the Bible, we find out that God wants to use his people for his purposes. And there's all kinds of purposes. And I believe God actually wants to use each one of you in his own way, for his own purposes, for the purpose of building his kingdom and loving his people. And so the verse for today, listen to this. Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, "For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prepared and made ready for us." I don't know if you ever think about this, but we are God's workmanship, and he wants to use us to do what? We've been created, been transformed, renewed to do what? Good works. Not just good works so that you can find favor with God, not just good works so people will like you, but good works as we continue to nurture and look after God's creation and love and serve God's people, right? And he wants us to be a part of that. And I want us to look today at this idea that God wants us to use us. And I know that when I read Scripture, when I read through the Bible, I see more and more of how God has used people. And so, what does God want from us? Well, listen to this. This is what I've just personally noticed when I read Scripture. He wants us to have control over his creation. We see that in Genesis 1. He wants us to procreate. That's how we all got here, right? Not only that, he wants us, we see in the New Testament, we also see it in the Old Testament, he wants us to deny ourselves, meaning that sinful fleshly desire. He wants us to deny that. He doesn't want us to walk in that. He wants us to do what? Follow him. We see that all in the Old Testament, people were called to follow God. Now that we get to the New Covenant, we know that we're to follow Jesus, right? So he wants us to follow him. He wants us to do what I think is one of the number one things is not only love him, but love his people, right? God wants us to love his people. And then he wants us to do what? Do good works. You know why he wants us to do good works? Because it's just better than bad works, right? Who woke up this morning and went, hey, I'm just pretty pumped up about doing some bad works today? No, we all want to do some type of good work for humanity. But not only that, for God. And so God, believe it or not, as much as he wants to use us, he uses some of the most unlikely people. And I found this by the people I'm around, but going back to his word, the scriptures. Think about this. I studied this. Did you know that he used 101 broken people in the Bible? 101. Now, I could name them, but we'd be here a while. But I picked a few. He used Samson. He used Rahab. He used Paul. He used Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Jonah. How about that guy? I'm not going to Nineveh and tell him anything. He ran from God. How about Levi? We know as Matthew, Levi the tax collector. I could go on and on, but God takes these people who, if you think about our day and age, we would not have picked. It's kind of like you work in HR and you're going through a resume, right? HR does that, and they're looking for what? The best candidate, the most qualified. And there's all kind of parameters of why they choose certain people to be employees. You were chosen in a way that way. There's certain things about you that got you hired here. But think about this. If they were reading through a resume and it had a lot of these things that we think about, we'd have been like, nah, we're not picking that person. Oh, wow, felony, not picking that person. Oh, wow, he's had like 1,000 jobs in a year, not picking that. Like, there's all these reasons we would choose not to pick somebody. And if we were to go back and look at the people that God chose to do his work, we would have threw a lot of them out, probably most of them. But God didn't. He picked and used people we would not have chosen. I want to look at two people today. I want to look at David, King David, and I want to look at Peter. Now, these are two people that I study a lot because I'm like, man, these guys, they had it all and they really blew it. If you've studied enough of the scriptures, you know the stories of David. He was a shepherd boy. We believe between 12 and 15 years old when he was called by God, he defeated Goliath with the stone, right? He became the king of Judah and Israel. He was an armor bearer for King Saul and later a warrior king. He had a great confidence in God's faithfulness and honored authorities. Not only that, he became the king of who all kings would be measured. David was someone special. When you read about him in Samuel, when you read about him in the Psalms, like he was this special guy, someone that we can learn a lot from, a man with a lot of wisdom. But here's the uniqueness about his resume. As much as that looks good on this resume, he fell into grave sin and adultery, murder, and he was a liar. We see that in 2 Samuel 11. Now, you would think right at that moment would be the time that his resume would get thrown out. Like, I know you're great, but wow. I mean, adultery? You even had a kid with her. You had her husband killed on the front lines. You even lied about it. Like, that just seems like not a person of great moral character that should be running and leading anyone. But yet we know that God used him. Yet David turned to and trusted God. We see in the book of Acts, the writing in Acts 13:22, it's even a quote from the Old Testament. Listen to this. And when he had removed him, Saul, this is, Saul was the king at the time, God is the he raised up David to be their king. Of him he testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, conforming to my will and purposes, who will do all my will, the words of God. A man after my own heart. But how is that possible? I mean, David blew it. David blew it. Men, what would your favor be for someone that slept with your wife? Right? Nah, David still was used by God for his purposes. And David even testifies to much of this in his prayers and pleas when we read in the Psalm. And so think of this. Jesus was born through the family tree of David and Bathsheba. The very person that he sinned with, that family unit, we know through that family tree, read it in the book of Matthew 1, comes Jesus. See, God chooses the most unlikely people. I don't know that we would have chose David. David was a great king. He was a great leader. He also had great moral failure, but God used him anyway. And then there's Peter. Man, think of Peter. So just imagine, I'll take this to some type of racing analogy, and we'll use the leader of this company. How about that? Let's just say that he comes and he chooses you, and he wants you to hang out with him for 3 years. Anybody on board with that? Just for the wisdom alone, right? You're going to hang out with him for 3 years, and you're going to get to spend time with him, and you're going to get to see all of what he does. I think that would be pretty cool. It would be a life-changing. There would be so much wisdom obtained there. But think of Peter. He gets chosen by Jesus. Like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Emmanuel, God with us. Think about this. Peter, known as Simon Peter, or Cephas, and he was one of the first followers of Jesus. A disciple, an apostle, and we read in some historical writings that he was the closest friend to Jesus. He was married. I don't know if you knew that, but he was married. He was a fisherman and became a preacher of the gospel who was unschooled. Even the Pharisees said to him at once, who are these unschooled men? So in other words, he was much like me, pretty unschooled at the beginning. But Peter was chosen by Jesus and spent time watching Jesus perform miracles, spent time going from town to town and city to city, watching Jesus minister and love on people and heal people. And Peter got to even himself be a preacher and share the story of the gospel. But here's the uniqueness about Peter. As good as he was, he seemed like this great protector of Jesus. We see him trying to defend him in the garden when he was being arrested. And when Jesus was arrested, you would think his closest friend would be there to support him. I would hope that if I ended up in a bad place, at least y'all in this room would stand for me and support me, right? And of course, Jesus is arrested, and of course, at that time, people were a little bit nervous about being associated with him. And of course, Peter's approached. We see in Matthew 26, 69 through 75, and he's asked, hey, you know him. Pretty much my paraphrase, you were hanging out with him. That's one of his followers. That's one of his disciples. And what does Peter do? He denies him. He denies even knowing him. Could you imagine if we went out and about and I denied knowing you? I don't know you. You'd be like, what do you mean? What do you mean? We come to your lunch every week. So Peter denies three times, knowing that Jesus even told him he would do it previous. Like, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. He does it, right? To me, that seems like one of the worst things you can do is be associated with someone, and then you're put in a position where they confront you about that someone, and you go, I don't even know them. Don't know that person. How do you think you would feel? Pretty heartbroken, right? They were afraid. They were afraid they were next. But yet we see this here in John 21, it's not in your handout, that Jesus restores Peter. Now, I would think he would approach Peter and said, hey, like, what was all that about? I thought we were buds. Like, man, you didn't just say you didn't know me. You said it three times to different people. No, he didn't. He didn't do that. He walked up to Peter and he said, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? See, Jesus knew his heart. He knew his motives. He said, do you love me? He asked him three times. Of course, Peter said yes. And eventually we see that Christ's church was built from Peter. We see this in Matthew 16:18. And I say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, death, some versions say hell, will not overpower it. Like you, Peter, the one that hung out with me, the one that watched me do miracles, the one that I called, the one that I loved, you denied even knowing me. But you know what? That's okay. Because I know you love me. I'm forgiving you. And you know what? I'm going to start my church off of you. The interesting thing is we would not have chose Peter. Shoot, that dude, man, he dimed me out. He said he didn't stick up for me. He let me go. He let him arrest me. We wouldn't have picked him, but God did. God chose Peter. And so think about this. What do we do when God's calling us and we look at our past and we think of our moral failures? We think of our qualifications. We think of, are we worthy to even be used by God for anything, right? Do I even know, in our day, we have the word, do I even know this thing to even help people navigate through it? Usually we count ourselves out, but you know what? God uses the most unlikely people, and he wants to use you. Watch this video.
So I grew up in I'd say a middle-class home. We went to church on Sundays. Most of the time it wasn't because I was looking for God, it was because I was looking for friends. Well, I went to college. That's when I was introduced to drugs. Cocaine became very popular for me. Just the whole bar atmosphere I chose to dive right into. You know, I graduated, found a job that I really started succeeding at. I was actually promoted at that job to take on different levels of responsibility around the nation, and one of my first deployments was back in my college hometown. I'd been there for about a month and a half, and I ran into a really good friend of mine from college. We decided that we were going to a Jimmy Buffett concert. You know, we left and we were drinking and we were just having fun in the car. It was a college road trip, as you will, except we never really made it to the destination. We hit the tree, my friend went through the windshield, and the young lady that was with us was thrown about 20, 35 yards. She's maimed to this day. My friend obviously died, and I broke 27 bones, including 4, 5, and 6 in my vertebrae. You know, I'll never forget the day that my parents had to come in rehab, and they had the conversation that that it was very possible that I was going to jail for 40 years. Intoxicated manslaughter, intoxicated assault. When I left the hospital, I chose to go home with my parents, and I remember the guilt hitting me like a Mack truck. I can't describe to you how far away from God I felt. Instead of turning to Jesus, I turned to more drugs, turned to more alcohol. I was on a mission to hurt myself even more. There was a girl that I was dating at this restaurant, and she came to me one day, and I'll never forget, and she said, I'm pregnant. I remember a prayer of God, if you really don't like me this much, why are you hurting her? I remember thinking I was his guinea pig, that he was just gonna abuse me, and that for some reason I'd drawn the short straw because of the bad things I'd done in my life. I was so sure that he was so mad at me. I was so sure that I had nothing to offer. I was so sure that I had crossed the line and that I couldn't go back. It was about 3 months after that we decided to get married, much to everybody's chagrin. And during this time, God had started sending Christian men into my life, and they took interest in me. And then they would help me, and they would guide me in the right direction. I ended up going to trial, and the judge stopped everything. He looked me square in the eye, and he said, you know, Mr. Germer, I see a lot of these cases a year. He said, but there's something sort of different here. Can you tell me, are you in a program? Are you doing anything? What seems to be helping you? And I remember sitting there for a second and dropping my head. And before I knew it, I looked up and I said, Jesus Christ. And you know, in a lot of ways, that was the first time I think I ever felt peace. In a lot of ways, I think that was the only time I ever felt that things were going to be okay. I was left with restitution. I was left with probation. I was left with some jail time. And I had to go AA twice a week. Even though I was starting to experience freedom in my walk, was probably the hardest one because I was dealing with all the emotions that I had always shoved down through my drug addiction. I was walking through all those emotions and whatever I'd done to other people's lives. I was like this tornado that just ripped through everything and got to the other side and when I got sober and thought everything was okay. I'd been in AA for about a year when my pastor called me in, asked me to take over for Celebrate Recovery. It was at our church. And I remember looking at him saying, are you kidding me? I'm barely functioning as it is, and you want me to lead something? And I remember that night going home and praying with my wife, as excited as we were. I remember my prayer of, God, you can't use me. How could you believe in me enough to do this? Don't you know what I've done? I can barely run my own life, very much run a ministry for you. There's no possible way. Over the next 4 years, the Celebrate Recovery that I had been asked to be the ministry leader of grew from 40 people to 150. And there were stories of freedom all around, but it was one step at a time. It was one Friday night at a time. It was one meeting at a time as God started showing me that he could use somebody that was broken.
Powerful video, right? That God wants to use the broken. Did you know that God wants to use you? Each one of you. You don't have to be broken. You don't have to have done something like this gentleman, but I want you to think about this. With your gifts and talents that God gave you, he wants to use you. Even in your sin and shame, even if you don't feel qualified, he wants to use you. Even if you don't feel like you're good enough, you don't know what to say, you don't know how to do any type of ministry, you don't have the right words, God wants to use you. If only you would submit to his will and surrender to the unknown. I like to always use this verse, when you humble yourself before the Lord, he'll exalt you. Right? And part of that is surrendering to him. And so I will close with this verse, Paul writing to the church of Corinth. I believe God gives you purpose, and you are only going to find your true purpose in life when you pursue and follow the giver of purpose. If you try to go your own way and try to do your own purpose, you're going to come up short somewhere. But listen to this. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best and doing more than is needed, being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion, in the Lord is not futile nor wasted. It is never without purpose. And so in the midst of God using us, we labor, we try to do good works, we follow Him, we deny ourselves, we love His people. But in all of that labor, it will not be in vain. God wants to use you. I want to encourage you. Allow Him to use you. Maybe it's speaking to a family member, a teammate. Maybe it's going to a Bible study. Maybe it's helping someone navigate through something difficult you've done in your life. Maybe it's just saying yes to becoming a chaplain, and next thing you know, you got a bunch of people staring at you trying to preach life into them, right? God will use you in all kind of ways, right where you're at. So I want to encourage you, be available to be used by God. Let's pray. God, thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to hear your word and to come together as a group, Lord, in unity, to know, Lord, you have a way for all of us. And so, God, help us to hear your voice, your spirit speak to us. Let us, help us to be brave and bold, to be able to do what it is you've called us to do, even when we're not sure, even when we're afraid. But mostly, God, help us to love your people. The people here at HMS, God, help us to love each other. Help us to love that coworker or that supervisor or that one person that maybe rubs us the wrong way. Help us, God, to love the people that we compete against at the racetrack. But mostly, God, help us to love you and see this world through your eyes. And so, God, we pray your favor over this company. We pray for this weekend. God, we do lift up our hospitality department. They're busy. And there's a lot of logistics and planning that are happening. So, God, we pray your favor over them. We know they're doing great work, Lord, but we just pray your protection over everyone that'll travel to Martinsville this week and return, that we'll be blessed in a mighty way. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you. See you next week.
We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at gotomro.com. Take care and God bless.